Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Odd Trails is a true paranormal podcast. If you have a story to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com. Enjoy the show.
Forget facts. Forget logic. Forget everything that seems real. You just trust. Believe.
This week, we'll be sharing a single story with you titled Winding Stream Trail by Crystal Hilder. Brandon and I will be taking turns sharing this story. I'll go ahead and get things started with part one. When I was 23, my husband and I were newly married and purchased our very first home together. This was back in 2013. The house that we purchased was located in Hampton, Georgia, on a road called Winding Stream Trail. It was definitely a fixer-upper, built in the 1960s, but because of its age and the amount of work that needed to be done to it, we got it very cheap. It was a two-story house with two bedrooms and bathrooms, a full basement, a two-car garage, and a beautiful sunroom. The whole yard was fenced in and extremely overgrown. The house sat on a very wooded and secluded plot of land. It was so wooded that, even from the street, you would have a hard time spotting the house unless you were really looking for it. The first 6 months or so went off without a hitch. I can't remember exactly what started it, but after a while, when I was home alone, things started happening. Small things. I would get this strange and overwhelming feeling of being watched by someone or something. I would hear strange noises around the house as if somebody were walking around when I was the only one home. At first, I just chose to ignore it, hoping that it would go away. Unfortunately, that doesn't always work. My husband and I were visiting his family around Christmas. That particular year, we had a terrible rainstorm, so bad that it was like a monsoon. Because the weather was so bad, we decided to stay overnight at his aunt's house. When we returned home the next day, we were grateful that we didn't have any downed trees or damage to the house. Or so we thought. Our basement had completely flooded from the rainstorm the night prior. Everything that was down there was completely destroyed. We instantly felt the pains of being first-time homebuyers. After work one afternoon, my husband asked me to take photos of all of the damage in the basement to send off to the insurance company. I was home alone, and I hated going into that basement, especially when I was home alone. But I knew it needed to be done, so I grabbed my digital camera, put on my big girl pants, and made my descent into the basement. When I reached the door, I expected to be met by water, but since a few days had passed, most of the water had been absorbed by the walls, and the excess had leaked out through the garage door and into the yard. There wasn't much light down there due to the basement not being wired correctly, and the drop ceiling made it impossible to install any lights. So I opened the door that led to the garage, used the only source of light from the basement bathroom, and began snapping pictures. At first, everything was fine, but then I snapped a picture and what I saw absolutely baffled me. In this particular photo, there appeared to be what looked like long white ghost hooks falling from the ceiling, the kind of hooks that they use in slaughterhouses to hang meat onto. I snapped a few more pictures to see if more would show up, but they didn't. I was able to catch a few more light anomalies, like orbs flying around in the photos, but nothing like the hooks from the first photo I took. I wish I still had these photos to show as proof, but unfortunately, so much time has passed that they've been lost over the years. After a few more minutes of snapping photos, the same overwhelming feeling that I mentioned before came rushing in on me. Except this time, it wasn't a feeling. Standing there alone in the basement in this big house with nobody else around, I heard the distinct sound of a voice. It was right next to me. I couldn't make out what it said, or if it was male or female, but I knew I heard it. I scanned the basement. I could feel the heat rising in my cheeks as my heart started to pound out of my chest. Something was down in that basement with me, and I wanted no part of it. I instantly ran out of there and called my husband, frantically trying to tell him what had just happened and what I had captured on camera. Naturally, he played it down to shrug it off. To him, it was all in my head and nothing more. This frustrated and annoyed me. I felt completely dismissed. Fast forward a week or two. By this time, I had all but forgotten about the basement incident. Life was back to normal and continued as usual. I was getting ready for bed on this particular night. I was usually in bed way before my husband. Eventually, I fell asleep, but my peaceful slumber didn't last. I woke up with that familiar feeling of being paralyzed and unable to move or speak. Except this time, I was seeing everything around me. My eyes scanned the room, and at first, I didn't see anything until my eyes shot to the foot of the bed where my feet were. Sitting there, at the foot of my bed was a woman. I was instantly scared. I didn't know what to do. I just kept staring at her. She had long black hair that spanned down the length of her back. She was wearing what looked like a solid black kimono or dark monk robes. I couldn't see her face at first because of the way that she was seated and positioned. Then, after a moment or two, she began to move. She turned her head to look at me. And when she did, I noticed that she had white bandages wrapped around where her eyes should be. The wraps appeared to be covered in a dark substance, almost like dried blood. She began crawling towards me. And when she began doing this, for some reason, my reaction was to look away. She didn't like this at all. And it did nothing to deter her. Not even a moment later, I was face to face with this thing. I could feel her hair on my skin. She opened her mouth. It was circular and black. Then, I could literally feel her trying to suck out my soul. At first, I was just letting it happen. It felt weirdly peaceful. I remember thinking to myself briefly, if this is what dying feels like, then it is actually peaceful. A few more seconds passed, and it was like I snapped out of whatever daze I was in and realized I needed to fight back, or I might die. I was instantly filled with rage and void of fear. It was like a switch flipped. I was no longer scared of this thing. In fact, I was extremely pissed off. I heard myself cussing this thing out and telling it to get off of me. I was all fight and no flight. A few moments later, I was able to get myself out of it. My brain and my body were once again on the same track. I sat up out of bed, my heart racing, and my husband was sound asleep next to me. My eyes darted and scanned the room to make sure that nothing was there and that it was safe. And of course, I didn't see anything. This would be my second run-in with sleep paralysis and my first experience with the lady in black. After my experience with the lady in black, I really started researching the matter a lot more. I had reached the point where I knew it wasn't all just in my head, that it all wasn't just one big elaborate coincidence. Whatever was going on and whatever was happening to me, even though it hadn't been consistent over the years, was definitely happening. It was 100% real to me, and I felt like the only way I was going to find any answers was going to be by learning as much as I could about the paranormal. Sleep paralysis, astral projection, spirits or shadow spirits, spirituality, astrology, numerology, reincarnation, the list just goes on and on. For the better part of almost 2 weeks, all I did in my free time was research. I watched YouTube videos, documentaries, and paranormal TV shows, with some more research in between. I became borderline obsessed, and even took it upon myself to rearrange the bedroom in a way that was supposed to improve feng shui, and moved the bed away from the window, where it was positioned previously. Towards the end of this 2 week period, I had another episode of sleep paralysis. This was the first time I had experienced episodes so closely together. There was at least a year or two that separated my first two experiences. This also happened when I was falling asleep and not waking up. I remember on this particular night, I was having a very hard time getting comfortable and falling asleep. I'm not certain how long I was tossing and turning, but it had to have been for at least a few hours. I just remember at one point being aware that I felt like I was floating down what I can only describe as a stream of soft silk. It flowed like water in a stream, but was so soft and didn't have a cool or warm sensation to it. I distinctly remember thinking to myself, "This feels really nice. I'm just going to relax and see where this goes." I did this because I had been struggling to fall asleep for so long. I was extremely naive to think this way after what I had gone through previously. This relaxing and somewhat soothing experience quickly turned into something far more disturbing. As I began to indulge in the silky river and allow myself to drift off, I was met with the most evil and sinister-sounding laugh he could possibly imagine. It was coming from outside, around me. Not in my head, but right next to me, at my bedside, in my bedroom. Though my body was paralyzed, there wasn't a sensation of heaviness in my body like there had been in previous episodes, and even though it was a struggle, I was able to fight my eyes open just enough to see around me. That usual intense fight-or-flight emotional response was more than apparent, and once again, it was all fight. I felt like whatever this thing was, it was intentionally trying to scare me, like it was getting some kind of sick, twisted enjoyment out of torturing me. I mustered up all of the strength that I could in my neck to turn my head to the side of the bed where this laughter was coming from. The challenge of struggling to open my eyes was just as difficult, but I was eventually able to get my sight positioned exactly where it would have been standing. But there was nothing there. I couldn't see anything at all. I'm not quite sure if most people would have the same responses to these things as I do, but I instantly got pissed off. I began to order my brain to snap out of it, and every muscle in my body started to move. I wasn't about to force myself to go to sleep after this. After some writhing, I was able to finally force myself up and awake. I sat straight up in bed, right away, looking around the room, my eyes darting in every nook, cranny, and crevice. The room was dimly lit by the silent TV screen. The only noise was coming from the ceiling fan above me. My husband at the time was once again asleep, soundly, next to me, none the wiser to anything that had just happened. I didn't understand what was going on, and I had nobody to talk to about it. The few people I did decide to share it with usually didn't even know how to respond. Things only continued to ramp up after this, though. My energy levels started to greatly decrease. I was sleeping 12 to 16 hours a day and sometimes more. No matter how much or how little sleep I got, I would feel completely exhausted, forcing myself up and scraping myself out of bed to even go to work was misery. At this particular point in time, I was going through a lot in my private life, and I was extremely unhappy in a lot of areas. Depression from private life, combined with confusion and frustration about all of the things going on with me and around me, that didn't make sense. It all depleted my energy entirely. I can't recall exactly how much time had passed in between, but eventually I was getting woken up while sleeping very regularly. And during these episodes, my name would be called. Sometimes it would sound like a male voice, other times like a female. There were times when it sounded demonic or even robotic, but the voice never sounded the same each time that it would happen. In the coming weeks that turned into months, I was spending a lot of time alone by myself. A lot of that time was spent sitting at the PC in the computer room, usually playing video games and listening to music. On this particular day, I was sitting at my computer desk playing World of Warcraft with a friend of mine who lived in Texas. We'll call him Cian. We were on voice chat through Discord when all of a sudden, my entire computer completely shuts off, and so does the light in my room. I looked over at my husband's computer desk, and his computer was still on and running like normal. At first, I thought it was a simple power surge or a blip, since the house was quite old, but then I started to feel that weird type of energy. It was building up in the room around me. That same kind of energy that I felt all those years ago when I was 14 in Panama City Beach. The room started to feel heavy, like there were too many people crowded into one room, even though I was home completely alone. I don't know why, but I began to feel extremely unsafe, and I told myself I should leave. I started to panic and decided to call my friend back on my mobile. I explained to him what was happening and asked him to stay on the phone with me while I got dressed to leave the house. My bedroom was located right next door to the computer room. As I walked out of the computer room and into my bedroom, it was like whatever it was, I could feel it following me. I grabbed a t-shirt and a pair of jeans from my closet and I told CN to hold on for a few seconds while I got dressed. I set the phone on my bed and I rushed as fast as I could to get dressed. As I'm almost finished and pulling my shirt over my head, I'm frozen in fear. I hear someone standing next to me. They're whispering something. It's incomprehensible, right by my ear. It was so low, I couldn't even make out if it was supposed to be female or male. I paused for just a few seconds, still hiding within the safety of my cotton-threaded t-shirt, to see if it said something else. And it did. I pulled my shirt over my head, and I looked next to me, revealing nothing was there. I grabbed my phone and my purse, and I told CN I was calling my grandfather to come and pick me up. Unfortunately, my car had recently broken down, so I was unable to drive. My grandfather only lived about a 10-minute drive away from me, so thankfully, it wouldn't take him long to get there. I sat on the steps of my front porch until my grandfather arrived.
Even though it was about a 10-minute journey, his arrival seemed to take ages. As soon as his car came to a stop in the driveway, I jumped into the passenger seat. I must have appeared visibly shaken, because the first thing he asked me was if I was all right. I honestly didn't know what to say, or how to begin to explain what was going on with me, without sounding completely batshit crazy. For years, I'd been experiencing odd things here and there, since I was little. But nothing ever like this. Other than my sister and a few friends here and there over the years, I never spoke to anyone about these types of things. Most of the time, it was because I didn't know how to. And honestly, I didn't want others to start judging me, or thinking I was crazy, because it's the easiest thing to do in these kinds of circumstances. To just assume someone is crazy or mentally ill. When we arrived at my grandparents' house, my grandfather and I sat on his porch smoking a cigarette. We sat in silence for a few minutes. I was inwardly trying to decide if I was going to open up to him about some of the things going on with me or not. I thought to myself, the worst that could come of it was that he would think I was crazy. Instead of laying it all out, I just asked him a few questions on the subject. I asked him if he ever experienced something he couldn't explain, something that seemed odd and maybe even supernatural. My grandfather was a man's man, very old school. If something upset him emotionally, you wouldn't know it. He never cried in front of anyone, except maybe my grandmother. And he wasn't easy to have emotional or even spiritual conversations with. I asked him if he ever felt things or seen things he couldn't explain. He looked out into his front yard and took a long drag off his cigarette. Surprisingly, he nodded his head and said yes. I'm not sure if the shock was apparent on my face, but so many questions came flooding into my head. I was extremely curious. He continued to say that there had been a few times in his life that he had seen or felt something strange, but would deal with it by ignoring it. Unfortunately, my curiosity was short-lived, and I decided to leave it at that. I believe there is some truth to the saying, if you seek it out, it will find you. My curiosity only grew as more time passed. I began taking pictures more often around the house. When I was alone. Back then I had a nice Nikon I would use for my photo sessions. I don't know the real science behind it, but something to do with the flash of the camera allows us to see things that we usually can't with the naked eye. Being in my mid-20s, among spending a lot of time alone, I found solace in music. I began to notice that when I was home alone and playing certain songs, one of two things would start to happen. I would either start to get this tingling sensation that would start at the top of my skull and work its way down my body, leaving me covered in goosebumps. Or I would start to get weird feelings and start hearing things around the house. One day I wasn't sure what possessed me, but instead of taking pictures, I decided to try to film a video to see if I could capture anything. Ironically, I was listening to If You Have Ghosts by Ghost when I started filming in the computer room, which was very much audible in the video afterward. At first, I felt really silly. I didn't really think I was going to capture anything on video. But after a few minutes and a bit of patience, I started to see several bright balls of light start to appear on the screen. They were hovering around the computer desk next to mine, which belonged to my husband. I sat for a few seconds observing them, darting my eyes from the screen to where they were supposed to be flying around. At first, I thought that it could all simply be dust particles in the air, but the way they moved so fast and with purpose seemed to greatly suggest otherwise. I moved and positioned the camera to film the doorway, which led out into the hallway and kitchen area. Directly outside the computer room, across the little hallway, was a little closet door that we used for storage. It wasn't long before I saw these same balls of light flying out of the closet, through the closed door, coming directly into the computer room where I was sitting. I even captured some orbs coming up through the floor, from where the basement and garage were located on the level below, where I had previously captured the ghost hooks in a photo after our basement flooded. I was intrigued and somewhat relieved to have caught these light anomalies on video. It was a small step towards validating that I wasn't entirely losing my mind. After a few minutes of filming, I decided that, for the hell of it, I was going to take a few pictures too. I snapped a few random photos and looked towards the doorway, which led into the room, to take another. I had a habit of glancing at the screen of the camera each time I took a photo, as it gave you a few seconds to review a photo before it was stored. As I glanced at the photo of the doorway, I noticed right away that something had been captured, Right away, I went into my photo library to bring up the picture to have a better look. At the top of the doorframe, hovering in the doorway, was a big, bright, fluorescent, green-colored orb. As soon as I realized what I was seeing, this insane burst of energy came rushing in at me, engulfing me. It's the weirdest, most overwhelming and intense sensation I could ever begin to explain. It's like a violation of space by a force of energy that you can't even see, only feel. Almost instantly, I was filled with fight or flight adrenaline. I was kicked into overdrive by the energy I was feeling. But I didn't run. I stood my ground. I simply said, "I can feel you. I know you are here. Can you please stop?" And just like that, it began to ease off and go away completely. For a few minutes, I just sat there in silence, in complete disbelief at everything I had just experienced. All of my energy felt like it had just been sucked right out of me. I was completely drained. I was so tired that it felt like I hadn't slept in days. I had enough, though, and after spending some time calming myself down, I decided to lay down and try to get some sleep. I woke up after my husband got home from work, and even though I felt like it wasn't anything groundbreaking, I figured the video might prove I really was experiencing things. I remember playing the video for him and watching his reaction to it. Afterward, he just looked at me and said something along the lines of, "What is it supposed to mean? And what am I supposed to do about it?" He had mentioned a few times in the past that he was scared of anything involving the paranormal, so he didn't mess or indulge with it in any way. After his response, I didn't even bother mentioning the green fluorescent orb experience. From that point on, I was pretty much done trying to prove anything to anyone except myself. The more attention and time I invested into this, the more often things seemed to happen. It was time to change the way I'd been going about things. Instead of just observing silently and documenting, this time I was going to do a little experiment. I was going to actively try to engage and interact with whatever this entity was. My thought process was that the theory behind spirits is that they need energy in order to manifest. The idea of using our rechargeable flashlight instantly came to mind. Once it was fully charged, I closed the door to the computer room to keep my cats out. I turned everything off, so there was complete silence. It was broad daylight outside, and the room was naturally lit from all the sunlight shining through. I sat in my computer chair at my desk and swiveled to face out into the room. I held the flashlight out in front of me, in my right hand, and turned the switch to where it powered on. I took a deep breath in and asked, "If there is someone here with me, will you please turn the flashlight off?" I sat for a few seconds in complete silence, looking casually around my room, waiting to see if I got a response. The next thing I knew, I felt the area around my right hand start to get significantly cooler in temperature. I began to feel tiny vibrations in my hand from the inner workings of the flashlight being messed with. I could hear the inside of the flashlight making a clicking sound. Then, within an instant, the flashlight turned off. And that same exact intense energy that I described earlier came flooding in, even more intensely than before. That was it. I completely lost it. I grabbed my purse and keys and left immediately. I was terrified. This time I ran. I was not sticking around after that. As soon as I got into my car to drive off, I felt like it was following me. I felt like the damn thing was sitting in the passenger seat directly next to me. I refused to look in any mirrors as I drove. It wasn't until I was almost well into town that I felt it finally leave. To say I was shook would be an extreme understatement. This experience changed me and my mindset about everything up until that point. I was living and existing in a nightmare, both awake and asleep. I was no longer curious. I wasn't interested in trying to understand or communicate. I just wanted it to be over. After nearly 3 years of living on Winding Stream Trail, and over time becoming more of a stranger in my own life, I decided it was time to make a change, a drastic and life-changing one. I figured if I was going to endure everything alone, then I might as well be alone. I left behind the life I'd been building for the last decade. I divorced my husband, left him the house, and most of the contents within it. I didn't really care that I would have to start over and rebuild my life from scratch. In a way, that is what I wanted. When I left, the activity seemed to die down a lot around me. After a little while, I boiled it down to something to do with the house itself. For the first month or so after I left, my life was a bit hectic. I wound up moving in with my godsister for a short time. One night, not long after moving in with her, I was invited to a house party by a friend of mine named Kay. It was just going to be a small gathering of people, nothing too wild or crazy. I usually wasn't one to indulge in social gatherings, but I felt it might do me some good to get out and have a little fun for a change. But after a night of drinking and smoking, Kay's friends asked us to spend the night, which we agreed to. Better safe than sorry than drive back. After about another hour or so, I was extremely baked and quite drunk. It's not something I do often, so I wasn't really aware of my own limitations. I eventually excused myself from the group and went downstairs to lie on their couch in the living room. Next to it was a lit fireplace, and above that was a TV that was switched on, but muted. It didn't take long before I eventually drifted off to sleep. I'm not sure how long I had been asleep before I woke up again, not being able to move. I instantly thought to myself, "Oh no, please tell me this is not happening, not again." I laid there, unable to move, but with a little effort and determination, I was able to squint my eyes open just enough to see the room around me. I could still hear the crackling from the fireplace. Though the TV no longer appeared to be on, I could still see on the couch across from me that Kay was fast asleep. To my knowledge, everyone now appeared to be asleep in bed. The house was quiet and pretty dark. Then, instantly, my attention went to the window next to the couch I was sleeping on, which was directly next to my head. Standing in front of the window next to the fireplace stood a shadow figure. My heart sank and started to pound. "You have got to be kidding me." It was just standing there, still as ever, appearing to just observe me. As I stared at it for a moment, it looked oddly familiar to me, as if I had seen it before. Then it hit me like a ton of bricks. It looked like the same exact shadow spirit that I saw through the mirror of my bathroom back in 2011. The same one I saw while I was wide awake 5 years prior. It's as if it realized I'd made this connection somehow. And then, something that never happened before, happened. This shadow figure that was now standing before me, observing me, went a step further. It literally spoke to me and said, "You are going to regret what you did." This memory has stuck with me for a long time now. I don't know whether to take it as a threat or as a warning to be careful. At this point, I know for sure it wasn't just the house I lived in on Winding Stream Trail. Whatever or whoever this is has been following me for much longer, and by the looks of it, has no intentions of leaving. No matter where I go, it surely follows.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Workplace stress is now a leading cause of declining mental health, with 61% of the global workforce feeling it more than ever. You can't escape work, but you can take small steps to take care of yourself. A walk, some sun, a favorite song. Therapy is one of those steps. Ongoing support to build resilience for whatever your day throws at you. Balance is tough. Getting help shouldn't be. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month.
A proper, downright scary supernatural account. That was a wild trip that Crystal took us on.
A comprehensive one at that. She wrote this story over time with four parts. It made it feel like we were reading somebody's journal entry.
Yeah, I know. She's written a lot about her experiences. We'll put a link to her website and subreddit in the show notes for you guys.
It's too bad that she had to go through all of that alone, though. The spirit seemed to only target her, and then her husband just didn't really want anything to do with it.
Yeah, I think he was just being purposely obtuse, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And maybe he was avoiding the subject altogether because he was so scared.
I can't imagine taking an avoidant approach to something paranormal happening around me, but maybe he's just thinking 10 steps ahead and using the power of placebo. He convinced himself that if he goes about it this way, the paranormal won't affect him. And I guess technically so far so good, right?
Yeah, it seems to be working. I don't know. I'd be too curious to ignore it, but I can't blame him. He probably just knows how much power our thoughts have.
Yeah, and it was interesting that her grandpa mentioned having some experiences of his own. I wish we knew more about those.
Yeah, I feel like we're left with so many unanswered questions after this one, but that was confirmation enough that it wasn't just in her head.
Yeah.
It may be that the place was genuinely haunted and whatever kind of spirits that remained there were the type of spirits to attach to a specific person. We've heard about this.
Mm-hmm.
She just happened to be the unlucky victim. It's like there's either a full-blown haunted house story where everybody sees and experiences things, or there are stories like this one where a single person is tortured by spirits all alone.
Yeah, it definitely adds to that layer of loneliness and isolation.
Yeah. Oh, and if I could make a movie recommendation, after reading the story, I went out and I got a Criterion copy of The Others.
Did you get the 4K or the Blu-ray?
Of course I got the 4K.
Okay, just making sure. And to be clear, we're talking about the Nicole Kidman movie, yeah?
Yeah. I remember it scared me as a kid, but I don't remember much of the story, so I wanted to give it another shot. It was definitely one of those movies that didn't feel like a big Hollywood horror flick, though. I think that if Nicole Kidman wasn't in it, it probably would have been on that indie horror circuit.
Oh yeah, I know what you mean. It's weird when those kinds of movies end up getting wide releases because they aren't always well received by the masses.
Yeah.
That's what makes horror from the 80s so good. It didn't matter if a movie took itself too seriously or not, because either way, there was a good chance it was still going to be some weird over-the-top thing and entertain you in at least some way. My favorite that people might have not seen is Pin from 1988, especially if you love the Uncanny Valley stuff.
Oh, yeah, that one's been on my list. I guess I'll have to watch that one next.
I just wouldn't look anything up if you haven't already.
Okay.
Just so you can first see who or what the star of the show looks like in the movie itself. It's worth it.
Okay, perfect. But I just can't stop thinking about the others.
I love that for you, though. That's what's speaking to you, so let's talk about the others.
Okay. No, I'm just thinking it was probably eclipsed by, like, the massive amount of PG-13 horror movies that completely saturated theaters during the early 2000s.
Yeah. I actually think the others did good in theaters, but I do hear people talk more about The Grudge and The Ring, all of those, which are still really good, but you're right, there was, like, an uprising.
Yeah. It was hard to keep up with. What I like about the others is that it's more than just your typical jump scare haunted house movie. It's kind of like a love letter to those 1940s gothic horror movies like The Haunting.
Mm.
And it has a really good surprise ending. I highly recommend everyone checking it out if you hadn't seen it. But moving on, after reading Crystal's story, scenes from the movie started to pop into my head, kind of like suppressed memories, I guess. And I'm glad that they did, because the movie has kind of like the same feelings of loneliness and isolation that you described. In stories like this, the protagonist almost feels like gaslit, and it just intensifies that feeling of dread.
Yeah, I can see that. Crystal seems to be doing pretty well now. Thank you so much for sharing your experiences. It's also worth mentioning she strongly states that her stories are all true personal experiences.
Yeah.
So definitely check those out. Remember, her links will be in our show notes.
Yeah, thanks, Crystal, for your stories. You can find her at CallieKays008 on Reddit. Again, links will be in the show notes. And also the subreddit titled Paranomaly. Anyways, thank you all for listening. The stories you heard this week were narrated and produced with the permission of their respective author. If you've got a story to share, make sure you send it to stories@oddtrails.com and sign up for our Patreon if you want to get ad-free versions of all of our episodes at a higher bitrate at patreon.com/oddtrails. Finally, make sure to check out the other podcasts over at crypticcountypodcasts.com, like Let's Not Meet, a true horror podcast, and the Old Time Radio Cast. Everybody stay safe.
Peace out.
And the ghouls disturb you, darling.